This year is dedicated, as always, to Rachlevas Rav Chaim Tzvi, L'Aliyat Nishpata. What we're going to be talking about is Chanukah and how to bring it to our kids. Chanukah is the best holiday for chinuch of children, as its name suggests. Okay, what's the main idea? What are you trying to convey, if you have to convey just a few big ideas? So I'm going to talk to you about the big ideas, and then I'm going to talk to you about how to relate them to different ages. The big ideas are the Jews fight the Greeks, meaning everything that's Jewish and spiritual and submissive towards Hashem and His will and His Torah is going to fight and win over the Greeks. Everything that has to do with self-actualization, limiting one's belief through intellect, the limited world of the human-centered world against the world of spirit. That's the first idea. The second idea is that there's light in the midst of darkness, that there are obstacles that people think could never be overcome, battles that aren't even worth starting, but if you do what's right, Hashem helps you, even if it seems that the battle is unwinnable. The third big idea is that when the Maccabim entered the temple, they didn't just light the menorah with any oil they found, even though in halacha you could say tumahutra, but tzibur, there are a lot of ways in which one could argue either that they could have waited to light the menorah or they could have lit it with ordinary oil, but they chose to do it right, and they chose to do it immediately. So the idea of purity and immediacy and zrizus is the third theme of the holiday. So let's talk about these ideas one by one, going through different age groups. Let's start with the first idea, the idea of Jews against Greeks for very young children. The best presentation I ever saw of Jews against Greeks for very young children was presented in a Yiddish school where my children were learning when they were in Gan. It's called Benos Rachel. So the teacher there, who I'm sure didn't go to any kind of formal seminary and learn teaching methods, didn't know what most of the teachers who graduate seminary know, meaning having a Chanukah play that's about the menorah and songs about Sufganiyot. She knew about the Jews and Greeks, though, from her own life, from her own upbringing. So she made a play in which the theme of the play, this was with four. Okay, you have the good guys who are dressed up as little cheder boys with kippas and tzitzis, learning. And then the bad guys, the Greeks, come. And in order to fool the Greeks, they put away their chumashim and take out arithmetic books. And the Greeks say, oh, you're learning arithmetic, that's good. Don't learn about Hashem and mitzvahs, no. Don't only learn what will make life easier for you. And then they go away, and the boys go back to learning. But the Greeks come back and trap them. They have to run away, and they go to a cave. I think you're getting the idea. But otherwise, I would be here for the hour the play took. The kids had a great time in the play, by the way. So the bottom line is kids love heroism. Everybody likes a hero. The main point of the Chanukah play is that heroism equals learning Torah and doing Hashem's will, not doing what makes your life easier or more convenient. Okay, so kids understand this and like it. So that's the main lesson for the very young kids. Now let's go on to the second part. The second part, as we said, was that there's hope even when things look black. So a very young child could be told on a simple level, the fact that we're in exile, that we used to be in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem always made us understand that He's looking out for us. But now we live in foreign places, and even in Eretz Yisrael, we don't always see Hashem looking out for us so much, because He wants us to learn to trust Him and to look for Him, no matter what. So then you take out the heroism stories. Okay, so you must know, there are so many of them in addition to the actual Chanukah story, which you could tell simply. There were a lot of Greeks, not a lot of Jews. A four-year-old knows what a lot is and knows what few is. So you could say, how would you feel if you went into a whole kita, a whole class, They were all full of Greeks, and you are the only Jew. How would you feel? Would you like to go to that school? What if somebody made you go to that school? Would you like it? Here it is during Hafsakah, and they're all eating their pig sandwiches, and they're all playing rough games, and you know that you're not supposed to do that. So you say a bracha over your pear, and you sit on the side, and you begin to cry because you feel bad and different and scared. And then Hashem helps you. He takes you out of there. He makes it possible for you to find some light and some goodness. Okay, so kids could understand stories with that theme, that you could be embattled. No, don't give them examples of physical battles, because that's not what Hanukkah is about. We're not talking about physical battles at all. We're talking about many people who want to extinguish Torah, not many people who are just bad because they're violent. Many people who want the Jews to live lives in which there's no Torah, no connection to Hashem, and they seem like there's so many and we're so few that they'll win. And then Hashem saved us. Why? Because we tried. Because you have to try. If you want Hashem to save you, you have to try. So you could make up stories or use existing tzaddik stories. You can go back to stories they may know from the Avos. Avram was living in Terach's house, but he didn't give up. He tried. He broke the idols, and then Hashem helped him. Okay, Yaakov was in Lavan's house. Lavan was a ganef. Lavan was a bad guy. But he tried always to serve Hashem, and Hashem took him out of there. Okay, you can go to the Yosef story. Here it is, Yosef was only 17. If the children know actual teenagers, you could say, that's like Joycey. That's like, you know, he was only 17. He wasn't an Abba. He wasn't an Ima. He was only a boy. And here he was in the Mitzri prison, and everybody was big, and they all wanted them to do Averas. And even Potiphar's wife wanted him to do Avera, but he tried. He made himself see Yaakov, and Hashem helped him. Then you go back again to the actual Hanukkah story. How the people were told they can't do Shabbos, and they can't do Rosh Chodesh, which kids this age probably are clueless as to what that is, so this also might be something you want to talk about. They can't make a bris milah on their babies, but they tried. Now you could tell them also the story at this age. They may get the story of the way Rebbe and Antoninus were exchanged as children during the Roman occupation. So although it wasn't during the Greek oppression, it was during the Roman oppression, the theme is the same, that the Rebbe's father circumcised him anyway, and he had to exchange him with Antoninus, who was a Goyish child, to show the Romans. And in the end, again, Hashem helped him. You probably know the story. I'm assuming you know the story. So this is the second theme. So after you get the theme across, relate it carefully to the Hanukkah story. Now, they probably will hear a lot in Gan or in school about the menorah. Try to keep this in proportion. Don't make the menorah the ikker. Make the nes the ikker. Okay, why? Because we light the menorah to commemorate the nes. That's why. So it's important that they understand what the nature of the milchama was. Okay, the third thing is that you want to get across to them is tahara. So children, believe it or not, have an aesthetic sense. So talking to them about purity is possible because they understand it aesthetically. They understand the difference between something that's nice looking and pure and good and something that's old, dirty, repulsive. So you could tell them that that's not only in Gashmias, but something that's used for a chet, Hashem looks at it and he says it's ugly. And something that was only used for l'shem, made to be used l'shem shemayim, Hashem sees it as beautiful. So you could tell them about how they made the oil for the menorah. So in order to do this, again, with little kids, you have to expand a lot. Where does oil come from? So what's the answer? The bottle, which comes from the store and it got there on the truck. So you have to say there were all different kinds of oil. But the oil that they used in the Beis Hamikdash came from olives. Olives grow on trees. And the best place in all of Eretz Yisrael to grow olives was in the north. So you could even make up a story about somebody who had an olive orchard and how he would go into the orchard, and when he squeezed the first drops of olives, he would say, "That's for the Beis HaMikdash." Okay. And the rest of it would be used stam. It wasn't for Hashem. It was stam to make fried eggs, whatever. But when the Yavanim went into the Beis HaMikdash, they even used the oil for bad things. But when the Chassidim said, no, we're going to only make use of the good oil. We're going to use the good, pure oil in the menorah, because the menorah is holy and so is the oil. And there was such simcha. They thought it's not going to stay lit because they have to wait till it comes all the way from the north. And you can go on about how long it took in those days. So the simcha of the hadlaka, they could see as being reflective of everything else, which is what? They tried and Hashem helped. Okay, now you know about getting across the Hanukkah story. So again, let's look at the three aspects. Greeks against Jews, the bad Greeks, their decrees, the Jews tried, Hashem helped, and finally the hadlaka of the pure oil. What do you do to get this across on Hanukkah? So you have to make them understand that the menorahs that we light today are to commemorate the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. We dafka want to show everybody, that's why we light it, where we light it and when we light it. Okay, every family should have one. Get across the halachas. Okay, what do you do with them next? So if you're creative and if you have enough kids to work with, making a Chanukah play in which children from, I'd say, the ages of 4 to 7 are involved could work. There are some scripts that, I'm trying to remember, the scripts that I used came from Chabad from years ago. I don't know whether they still even have them. But they had scripts, and they had one, was he from a Jewish radio station? I'm sure today if you go to the stores you could still find some scripts of Chanukah plays, or you could write one. They don't have to be professional. They don't have to last more than 5 minutes. But the kids enjoy doing it. Other things that you could do with very young kids after the hadlaka is drawing menorahs. If you were making the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, what would it look like? And it's delightful to have their menorahs like put up somewhere on the refrigerator or whatever. Okay, if you're very creative, which I never did, I saw this in a book, but I never did this, so I'm hesitant to even recommend it. You could show them how to make oil, meaning if in Israel you could get this easily, but if you can get uncured olives in America, which I don't know, then actually squeezing it, showing them what oil is, might be interesting for them. Okay, and then of course there's all the food stuff. So that's enough. For little kids, that's enough. Let's move on to the next age group. So the next age group, kids of 6, 7, through 10, 11. Okay, so these are the kids who, again, you want to get across the same 3 points. But now you could ask them questions that have bigger, that open bigger doors. Today the Greeks are stump people who live in Greece, and they don't have any relationship to Jews, really. Are there any people in the world that you ever heard of who are afraid of mitzvahs, who don't like mitzvahs, who would like it if no one kept mitzvahs? Did you ever hear of people like this? So odds are, they'll say something to the general idea of, the assimilated Jews, the chilonim, the whomever. And you say, well, why do you think they think that way? Then you could tell them a big chiddush, which is that the Greeks left an impression on the world that's still there today. That in the non-Jewish world, people think exactly like the Greeks thought. Exactly as the Greeks thought. They think that anything that the human mind doesn't grasp isn't relevant. That they live without Ruchnius completely for the most part. And because of this, they think religion is silly or bad. And at this point, you could talk to them about the struggle of Jews in Stalinist times and pull out all the stories. The lighting of the menorah in the forests, teaching children Torah in the basements. You have to say that we're still fighting the Greeks. And they have to be brave. They have to be like the Hashmonaim, because the Greeks are the majority and we're the minority. They have to hear this. If you have the right relationship with the child, you might even be able to ask him how he thinks the Greeks could be fought. Now, the answer you want to get is through learning Torah, through setting a good example, through bringing the, if the child is living in a situation where this is reasonable, through sharing some of what they know with others. Okay, but those are the answers you want. So in order to elicit those answers, you have to keep very patiently moving the kids towards understanding what real heroism is. So you could do this, again, you tell them the story, any of the stories of life in Stalinist Russia. There's a very charming book called, it's about two little boys who were cantonists, I just forgot the name of it. I don't remember the title. It's called Young Something or Other, and it has a picture of the two boys on the cover. Telling them stories from there, or from the Inquisition, the family Dagila, or any of those. Okay, if you have some, what really is the light that they were preserving? Where did it come from? Where is it in you? If you're careful enough and patient enough, they'll go beyond giving you stock answers like the Torah is light. You would ask, what is light? What does light do? So the answer is it makes you see what you wouldn't see otherwise. So you could say they see only the outside, but we see the inside. We see what things are for, not just what they are. You could talk about things that even they see as noble, like doing chesed. That's not the outside, that's the inside. Okay, so that's the main point with them. The secondary point with them is that you have to try and Hashem will help you. So there are many stories about tzaddikim who didn't necessarily, like Reb Elchanan, for instance, who didn't start out, for instance, as big Balei Kishrin, but they applied themselves and Hashem helped them. You might bring in stories of the lives of people who are more contemporary. Could Sarah Schneerer have pictured Beis Yaakov as it is today, all over the world, with such a huge population of girls? She tried, and Hashem helped her. If there are people in your life who they know, who overcame obstacles, B'siyata D'shmaya, you have to say this is their Hanukkah story. Okay, the third thing you want to get across at this age is the beauty of purity. So your agenda here is to get them to a place where they don't see things that are permitted in halacha but inherently impure as attractive. So an example of that would be, let's say, secular rock music. So you would have to be able to try to get across to them, again, patiently and with stories, the beauty of purity. So, talking about the actual avoda in the mikdash, if you have any of the very beautiful presentations in picture about the avoda in the mikdash that's done through Machon HaMikdash, the menorah itself, the amount of work that went into it, to demonstrate that there's such a thing as pure elokut, and that when people take art and music or whatever, and let the Elokut flow through that the experience is so beautiful. That's why in the Beis HaMikdash there was music, and that there was beauty, and there was the menorah itself. And today people take those same things and distort them. You don't have to say so much more. But if you can get the child to see that the kochos of purity could be, so to speak, kidnapped by the outside, this is a big thing for them to grasp. Okay, so what are kids this age like after the menorah? So if you could prepare like a serious story a day, there's still an age for stories. Singing is something that appeals to them more. It's certainly worth your while if they have new cassette tapes with Hanukkah songs, that this is a good time to save them. Okay, Kiz the Sage may still like the Rebbe Alter ones, which are very charming, and other similar ones, as well as the ones that are just music. Okay, there's always food. At this age also, you might want to take them to see the tzaddikim light menorahs. So again, this depends on where you live, who your local tzaddik is, how willing they are to have them have children come. But certainly here in Yerushalayim, this is it's a real opportunity. Okay, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, regardless of where you live, you have to somehow manage to get to the Kotel at least once with the kids this age, to let them feel that this is once where the Beis HaMikdash was, and that soon we'll enter Har HaBayah to light the menorah. Seeing the large menorah lit at the Kotel is something worth doing. So certainly that's something to do after the candle lighting, if it's possible at all. Okay, the third and more difficult age. Okay, older kids, 11, 12, 13, and teenagers. They've heard the stories. They don't want to hear the stories at this age. At this age, they may want to, if you're not careful, just light and go. So what you have to do is try to make it attractive to them. So trying to engage them in debate, if they're the kind who like it, okay, you after the hadlaka. Again, who are the Greeks nowadays? You know, like we're told that the four exiles are all contained in the last one, in the Roman exiles. That means the Greeks are still here. Where are they? You could ask the kids engaging questions like, who would the Misyavnim be? And what, especially kids who think, will notice that many of the things that people associate with the Maccabim today are really things that in ancient times would have been very clearly in the court of the Misyavnim, the Hellenists. For instance, the Maccabee Games. Who was interested in imitating the Olympics? The real Maccabees or the Hellenists? Who would have been in the Maccabeia in those years? The answer is clearly the Hellenists. Another thing to talk about is that in general, the Hellenists turned around. That once they saw the sincerity of the Maccabim and their victories, the entire peoples redefined themselves. So you could tell them that oftentimes, kids again this age, they hear talk, they read the papers sometimes. So they'll hear about the government this, or the Chilonim that, or the reform this, or Cousin Barry that, or whatever. You could say, all this could change. And what it depends on is our sincerity. So talking about sometimes openly at this age, the terrible effect of Chilul Hashem, how there are people who are probably decent people, but because of money considerations or other considerations, did Chilul Hashem, how this holds back the process, how Kiddush Hashem gives you access to the process, you could be part of it. If you want to have an intellectual discussion, again, with teenagers, if they lend themselves to it, talking about how there's a place to be Hashem's policeman and there's a place to be Hashem's salesman. And there are different approaches to purity and to what the role of today's Maccabee would be. But either way, it has to be L'Shem Shemayim, and it has to be without Chilul Hashem. Okay, so this will take off, if you conduct this discussion correctly, it'll take off some of their extremely negative feelings about God's policeman or about God's salesman, depending on which side of the fence you're on. Okay, but that's an important thing. Talking about purity is important. What does purity mean today? Asking them, but what do they think? Don't tell them what you think. What do they think is pure and impure today? What do they think the Maccabim would reject from today's society? What do they think is something worth accepting to reach a higher level of purity? Okay, at this age, certainly, especially if you have boys, taking them to the Hadlaka at Tzaddikim is even better than with younger kids because they'll appreciate it. And many of the Rebbes have Tishin, there's a lot of singing, it's interesting. Because they have off from school, and because it's 8 days and there's nothing much doing at night, it's worth your thinking out carefully beforehand how you're going to keep your teenagers busy at night. So this may include family visits. This may involve inviting them to have slumber parties in the house. Obviously not boys and girls at the same time. Okay. Making yourself an attractive place, you know, your house an attractive place for teens to hang out on. Buying the new discs, whatever it is that'll fill their time, make them happy, in doing something that's at least minimally in tune with Chanukah is what you want to do. What you don't want is long, bored evenings where they'll just, like, do nothing and end up fighting with each other at best or going out to parts unknown at worst. So you have to plan it. You should have a plan for every night, and it should be a plan that's attractive to them. Food is always important. So letting them make latkes, letting them make sufganiyot, even though the bought ones are better and not much more expensive, if they like it, if they like the kitchen scene, is something that will keep them busy. So whatever it is, though, the main thing is to get across to them that the three goals, again, which is knowing which side you're on, expecting siyata d'shmaya and having hope, and valuing purity, is the message that you want to get across to the teenagers. So you have to use your imagination. You have to tell the stories. But remember, they're not going to want to sit and listen the way younger children do. Sometimes getting the teenagers involved in doing something for the younger children, also in which they could use their creativity maybe, is also a good thing. Okay. Last thing that's part of the Chanukah picture, dreidel playing and Chanukah gelt. Okay, so playing the dreidel could take forever, which is good because you want to keep them busy. So the way you make it take, there are different ways to play dreidel. I'm just going to tell you how to make it so it never really ends. So you give each participant a certain amount of money in coins. So this could be dimes, it could be quarters if you're living in America. In Israel, it could be 10 agurot or half shekels, depending on how much money you want to give them. So you give each one of them a certain amount of coins, dependent on the money you want them to have, and put some money in the middle. You then have them spin the dreidel, with nun being nothing. I'm telling you these rules not because any way you play is fine, but this way makes it last forever. Nun is nothing. Hey is half, okay? Gimel is get, where you take the whole thing. And pay is where you put in, you pay. Okay, so we've anglicized the Hebrew letters. So following these rules, the game eventually ends, but it takes very long. Okay, so this keeps them busy and it also gives them money, which is a good thing. Okay, some parents will give their children money just some without them having to earn it through playing dreidel. This is a good time for giving kids money. It fits well into tradition. So if you give them money, another thing that fits Chanukah is teaching them to meiser and to sitting at like the table. There are usually all sorts of tzedakah envelopes out there. What do you want to give to? And talking about the different tzedakahs. So this opens their hearts. So even if the amount of money that each child has to give is 10 shekels, but it's in 10 different shekels, so you could have them give a variety of causes and you would add some of your own money as well. So this is a good and healthy thing to do. Okay, if you can invite special needs kids over or other kids who are a bit miskain, this is also a good thing to do. Giving presents on Chanukah is a custom that we picked up from our friends who give presents for the other December holiday. So there's no need for this. It's not necessarily a good thing. And it does lead to, well, they have this and we have that, when the two holidays really shouldn't be compared. However, if you're living in a place where you need this to keep them out of the department stores with all of the holiday nonsense, then you do what you have to do. There's no isser in giving presents for Chanukah. But again, what's more traditional is money. Okay, so that basically is it. And you should have a Chanukah Sameach. Enjoy making latkes. And enjoy buying sufganiyot, which tastes much better than the made ones. But keep your kids busy and give them some simcha. Have a good time.